Well, would you look at that? Live from Ray Nitschke Field, it's practice number three. The Green Bay Packers set to don full pads here at Nitschke in about roughly an hour and a half. Welcome to Packers Daily. I'm Aaron Nagler, your gracious host at Cheesehead TV, as I believe Packers security is eyeing me up, not too friendly, in too friendly a manner. So if this gets cut short, you'll know why. What's up, everyone in the comments? Good to see everybody. Hello from Israel. Well, hello from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Pack, go. Jason. Oh, Joey is here. Big B is here, of course. Daniel, what's up, man? Nags, good morning. Pads, yeah. The Pogs, yes. Pads, come on. The hitting starts. This is when it starts getting good. This is what I'm talking about. Bob, morning. How are you, buddy? Sean, kick ass. That's what I'm talking about. Morning from Alaska. What's up? Silas, hello from Green Bay. Get myself some coffee here. That's what I'm talking about. Hello from Los Angeles. Jess, you're up early. Rise and shine. Beautiful backdrop. I agree. Nitschke Field. It's always lovely. Hello from Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico checking in. What's up, Jamie? Hello from Green Bay. Is Larry's pinky messed up because he carried that damn G on it for so long? I would tend to think that is the case. That man has carried the G longer than most of us, undoubtedly. And he played on some damn bad teams, but was really good while doing so. Go Pack Go from Virginia. What's up? Dark Roast. Joey, how did you know? Well stayed. Well spotted. Who has the bigger year, MVS or EQ? I'm going with EQ. I think he's going to work himself into the rotation earlier than rather than later. And I think he's going to find a good niche in this offense. Really missing training camp this year. Chad, I hear you, man. It's been odd just being here for the last 48 hours or so. It's like OTAs, really, with no bike riding, no pomp and circumstance, no real vibe around things. It's, you know, kind of like OTAs, except now they're about to put pads on and start hitting. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Is anyone going to look at AJ Dillon's face today? Oh, why would we when we have those fantastic tree trunks to look at? Stan Lee, thank you for the super chat. Did Kevin King eat his damn salad before training? I can only hope. I'm still not fully buying his explanation that that was a protein shake or a healthy shake or whatever it was he said it was when I called him out on drinking that soda the other day. I've been confused with the all H-back, fullback, and tight end talk in regards to Josiah. Can you explain the difference? Ultimately, he's an H-back in that he'll be utilized all over the formation. Yes, you'll see him running at fullback. We saw that yesterday. You'll see him lined up in the slot as a receiver. You'll see him lined up as a traditional tight end in line, then maybe split out from that. He's going to play all over the place. It's because he's a little lighter that they have labeled that he gets labeled an H-back. Ultimately, the team labels him as a tight end. So just think of him as an all-purpose player. He's a chess piece that you can move all over the place. All of those different positions have different responsibilities and kind of different backgrounds as far as why they're, you know, why a tight end is labeled that way and then an H-back. And then you talk about a fullback, blah, blah, blah. He's going to be utilized all in every one of those capacities. So the easiest thing to call him is probably an H-back because traditionally that's a guy who is more of a move tight end, does play a little bit more in space, does get utilized as a receiver, but is also able to line up in the backfield as a traditional fullback, able to line up like as an inline tight end and, you know, be asked to block some of the bigger defensive ends in the league, etc. But more often than not, I think you'll see him utilized as a receiver as the year goes on. Justin, thanks to the super chat. Lambeau Brat or Kroll's Butterburger? Need answers. Oof, that's a tough one. Probably Kroll's Butterburger for me. How many years has A.J. Dillon been fed? What has A.J. Dillon been fed? That I don't know. How many years is Jordan Love off? You mean away from starting? Probably three. But we'll see how he develops. Brandy, can you clarify the question you asked Gutekunst regarding bringing in players for workouts? Yes, Brandy. They actually changed the rule, and this is why I asked it, after I asked the question, and he gave his answer. When I asked him, I was trying to basically suss out if they were going to sign the receiver from Seattle, which they ended up doing, because when the new augmented CBA was signed between the NFLPA and the league due to COVID-19, et cetera, trying to work everything out, the rule was you could not bring in a player unless you knew you were going to sign him. You couldn't bring in players for workouts. They literally changed that rule. I think it was 2 days after I asked that question. And you heard Brian in his answer saying it's changing, because it was changing. Things were changing rapidly and still are because of COVID-19. But now teams are allowed to bring players in for workouts. And the Packers did just that on Monday. They brought in a slew of guys, including, I believe, Reggie McKenzie's son, who's kind of bounced around the league a little bit. But it is a little confusing. But at first, you couldn't bring in guys unless you planned to sign them. But now, as of some mid last week, you can bring in guys for workouts. And like I said, the Packers hosted a handful, I think about 6 or 7 players on Monday. And most of those workouts, just so you know, are really just information gathering sessions. It's just getting, you know, some info on guys that maybe you want to call later down the line. Maybe you have an idea of trying to augment your roster in some way, kind of at the bottom of it. But usually it's just to bring in guys, get information, whether it's medical, see them run routes, etc. So you kind of have it on file if injuries strike and you have to make a call and you have to, you know, bring somebody in to replace an injured player. That's what a lot of that is used for. You think if there was a preseason, Tim Boyle would shine and he would flip him for Patrick Peterson? Man, you got Packers fans are like so enamored with Patrick Peterson. No, they wouldn't flip him for Patrick Peterson. Maybe they flip him, but I doubt it. I think he's much more valuable to them on the sideline as a backup, especially with Jordan Love not having an offseason. Now, I know you're in your scenario here. They have preseason. I don't doubt for a second that he will get some calls and or mentions as far as trade bait next year. I doubt it for this year. He's way too valuable to them to be flipping for a pick. So many questions. Sorry, guys. Who is your sleeper pick for a wide receiver group who makes the team? Begleton or Shepard? Oh, I'd take Begleton over Shepard, definitely. I think he's got more athletic upside, and I think he's probably a better catcher of the football, although last summer Shepard made some amazing catches. As I said on Twitter last night, the path to the roster for either of those guys and for most of the guys fighting for those spots behind Adams and Lazard is special teams. If they can shine on special teams each and every day, then they've got a shot. But without it, they have zero chance. Jason, thanks for the super chat. Love it. A higher ceiling than Vitaly if used properly by LaFleur and Hackett. I'm not ready to say he's got a higher ceiling, but I'm telling you, that kid can catch. Holy cow. Yesterday, he had a couple snags that were truly impressive. You got to remember, he's still making a transition. He did not have a full camp last year prior to getting hurt. He got hurt in that first preseason game. And prior to last year, he was playing quarterback at Princeton. So it's not like you can just, you know, plug him in there, so to speak. I do think he has big upside. There's no doubt about it. But whether it's higher than Vitaly's, I don't know. That's splitting hairs. But I am very excited to see him, pads come on, see what he can do. Brian, thank you for the super chat. What's most likely to happen in 2020, a COVID cure or Tom Silverstein learning how to figure out his audio during interviews? Leave Spoon alone, man. This is the elder statesman of the beat. He's a legend. Let him futz with his Zoom. It's fine. You're going to be okay. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Loving Evan Siegel's photos this year. Dude brings his A game. The Rodgers photo looks like it's from a Linklater movie, right? Man, Evan's the man. You know, the Packers struck gold when they stole him from the Green Bay Press Gazette. I don't know if the Press Gazette realized how good he was, but man, he is a legend. Ooh, this is a very, very deep question from Redworb Michael. What's up? Who sucks more, the Chicago Bears or the Chicago Bears? That would be the Chicago Bears. Thank you. Let's see. What else we got? Got that one. Got that one. Just checking. I didn't miss any super chats. Dustin, thank you. DeGuara and Irvin in the backfield could be fun. Oh, yes. Let me tell you, Irvin is going to be a ridiculous chess piece in this offense. He is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Book it now. Aaron White, thank you for your super chat. I can remember the exact seat I was in during every big moment of Rodgers' career. What's your favorite Rodgers moment and where were you? Whew, that's a really good question. Favorite moment? I probably have two of them. One because of its magnitude, and then one just because it was amazing. The first one, obviously, is the third down completion to Greg Jennings in the Super Bowl that kind of iced it. I was in my living room, 42nd and Ditmars in Astoria, surrounded by friends and family. My kids were there. It's probably the happiest they've ever seen me, so that will always be special. But as far as, like, a big moment, that I really kind of seared in my brain, it's the Hail Mary in Detroit. And I know it wasn't as big. It wasn't in the playoffs, et cetera, but and it led to a win, and I'll never forget how hard I just couldn't stop laughing. I was in my living room by myself, primetime game, kids were asleep, blah, blah, blah. But I was dying laughing. I think there's a vine of me laughing after that. I couldn't stop myself, but that was an epic night, no doubt about it. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. How is the slot cornerback going? Do they need Tremon? No, Chandon Sullivan looks good. They'll be rotating guys probably throughout camp, trying to see who fits where, but they don't need Tremon. I said it on Twitter the other night. Man, it's life in the NFL. I know it sucks, and no one loves Tremon more than me, perhaps maybe Corey Banky, but, you know, they're projecting forward. A GM's job is always to look ahead, and they see Chandon Sullivan ready to step up and take that spot, and I think he will. I think he's ready, and obviously so do the Packers, and would Tremon be a nice security blanket? Absolutely. And I do not doubt for a second, and I said this all summer, if injuries were to strike and, you know, they needed help in the secondary, I do not doubt for a moment that Tremon would get a call. But unless that happens, I think they're trying to move on. You know, Father Time, he's undefeated, man. Do you think the Packers will do the same thing as the Brewers did, broadcasting their practices? No, Connor, I don't. It's a miracle they're allowing us to live tweet practices. You'll notice a lot of teams around the league aren't allowing the media to tweet what's happening. I already know PR is already kind of not upset, but, you know, tried to gently remind us about things that were tweeted out during that first practice that shouldn't have been, given the guidelines that we've been given. You know, I understand fans want to watch practice. I totally get that. But for Matt LaFleur and his staff, they want to implement stuff and they want to get stuff going. Without preseason games, they've got to do a lot more kind of game-like work in a very short amount of time. And they don't want to give information out to the Vikings, to the Lions, through the first couple of opponents who could very easily peruse whatever information is put out there and start working on their game plans. So we saw yesterday, LaFleur started practice. I think they spent the first 30 minutes inside the Hudson Center because he doesn't want people seeing his stuff. And I get that. So while it's frustrating for fans, I understand you want to see as much as you can. The Packers have to keep everything as kind of close to the vest as they can as they prepare for a season in a very truncated training camp environment. Man, okay, I'm always optimistic, but I feel the Packers, this all bodes well given a condensed camp and no preseason. I like our vets and coaches. Matt, I think Brian Gutekunst does too. I think that's a big reason, not a big reason, but a part of the reason for a lack of activity this offseason, coupled with they have a lot of guys they got to pay. You saw Kenny Clark's already got his extension. Got to think Aaron Jones is coming up, David Bakhtiari. I think continuity is going to play a big, big part in anybody's fortunes in this weird season that we're about to embark on, and Green Bay should be served well with how much continuity they're going to have. Here we go. Zachary, thank you for the super chat. With Aaron Rodgers' comments about Mike McCarthy, what is your favorite part about Dylan's legs? Well played. That's a dynamite super chat. My favorite part about Dylan's legs is how confident he is in showing them off. He certainly is not shy. Casey, you're letting 16,000 fans in the opening. The Packers are not. Boyle shows what the Packers coaches can do with a raw QB. Peter, I somewhat agree. Yeah, I mean, you look at, I think the biggest takeaway from Tim's availability yesterday is the fact that this is only the second time in his football career that he's gone from one season into the next in the same offensive system. I mean, that cannot be discounted. And it certainly has shown up early on here. He looked so sharp yesterday. And I know all reports say he looked really sharp on practice one. So, yeah, I think there's something to it. Certainly something to be said for it. And the guy throws a very damn nice ball. So, like I titled this video, he will not go gentle into that good night. He is going to fight for his gig, no doubt about it. What else we got? We got time for one or two more. What else we got? Javier, thanks for the super chat. Is Tippo working with outside linebackers, inside linebackers, third stringers, second stringers? Very much third stringers and mostly outside. He's been bouncing around. A lot of special teams work. But he's going to have to really start turning some heads when these pads come on. No doubt about it. Is this the final roster for Montrevious Adams to show up? The final straw for Montrevious Adams to show up? Yes. A 1,000,000,000%. He has been starting. He started with all the three-man lines yesterday, so that should bode well for him, but he's got to keep it up, especially now the pads come on, gets a little bit more physical. We'll see if he can hold up. Boyle won't resist the new O like Rodgers. I don't know. I don't know if Rodgers is so much resisting it as just trying to do as much as he can that he's comfortable with. See what we got here. Make sure I don't miss any super chats. Sorry, guys. They fly by here. I got that one. Got that one. Got that one. Got that one. Oh, here we go. Andrew. Sully's ceiling is massive. Tend to agree. Thanks for the super chat. All right, guys. I'm going to have to wrap it up. Oh, here we go. Final one. Here we go. Eric. A general question about today's NFL head coaches. Given their other responsibilities and a large staff of coordinators and position coaches, how much do you think head coaches actually teach the game of football? Eric, I think it maybe a little bit varies from city to city and franchise to franchise, but for the most part, if you're not a good teacher and if you're not teaching on a day-to-day basis, I don't think you stick around very long. We've seen Matt LaFleur on the field with his guys each and every day. You saw him mixing it up yesterday with the DBs, with Aaron Jones. You've seen him out there with the quarterbacks and the receivers. And there's something to be said for, yeah, he wants to be on the field. He wants to be giving on-field instruction, but that's not the only way you can teach. Going back to Holmgren, going back to all the best coaches in the league, they all talk about how coaching is teaching. And if you aren't teaching as a head coach, you're not going to last very long. So while I think there's something to the idea of maybe some guys do it more than others, all of them are teaching in one way or another. They have to be. Your team just can't develop without it. But that is a good question, though. I think it is interesting to note that I think some guys probably lean into that aspect of the job a little bit more, and they are probably the ones who are better coaches in the long run. All right, guys, I got to go. Thank you so much for all the questions. I'm sorry if I couldn't get to yours. They do come fast and furious. I'll be back after practice this afternoon. We've got practice at 10:30 Central Time, and then we've got some availabilities. We've got coach and a bunch of players afterwards. And then sometime later this afternoon, you'll see an extra cheese pop up. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Hit like on this video. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.